Blog Talk Radio.
Chi-Town in the house. Chi-Town, say what's up.
What's going on, everybody?
We got the pride of DeSoto, Texas. What's up, Jamal?
What's going on, Mike? Let's roll, man. Let's roll.
All right, we ready to get it cracked. And let's get it started. I want to get started off with a short review on the new NCAA. 2014. I just wanted to do this review because it looks like that they're going to be having NCAA 14.
I'm in studio.
Okay. And we now have the Mountain South also on. Bonzel Mathis.
What's up, man?
Come on, Bonzel.
I was just getting into my doing a review on the NCAA 14. It's a very good game. Like I said, it might be the last year that college football. College football as a game itself has kind of fallen out of favor recently, just because you know it's always kind of been looked at as Madden Junior, basically. I like the earlier versions because you know one of the main differences was you know with your quarterback. You know, you can run the option and things like that, and it kind of got lost in recent issues in the game. But in my opinion, this might be the best game they've released since 2006. They have it where you can run your quarterback. The quarterback is the center of the game here. They brought back kind of like the old style of passing where you can control your wide receiver. And, you know, you have to just rely, you know, some ball players, you know, as you can go up and get your own passes. And like I said, you know, the graphics, you know, everything is going to be up to, you know, up to what it is, it being a, you know, PlayStation 3 game anyway. Interesting things on here. They got the Disney Sony, the only 99 in the game. And also they have Johnny Manziel, the fastest running back in the game, which is interesting too. So, like I said, what'd you say?
Fastest quarterback in the game?
Yep, they got him 91 speed as the fastest quarterback. And he's a 97 overall.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta, yeah, he's numero uno. And like I said, Chimps is weird. They actually have Notre Dame beating Ohio State for the national championship. So, you know, sometimes they use these games as a barometer to see what's going to happen in the real life. That match gets knocked off by A&M and Georgia in the SEC championship game, which I wasn't expecting. So, but like I said, they got Johnny Manziel like Superman on this game. It's hard to stop him. But anyway, there was also a major ruling today. The U.S. court has ruled that athletes can sue EA Sports for images used in their video games. And I think EA kind of expected this ruling was coming. Like I said, you know, we announced a couple weeks ago that they weren't going to be releasing any more NCAA 14 football games. And like I said, this goes hand in hand with it, you know. So I think they're going to make this retroactive, too, where athletes, you know, where they're going to be able to sue for royalties and things like that. So unless there's a settlement, this could be a very, you know, very, very, very big loss and have lasting implications onto, you know, the college person, the way, you know, the way these guys, you know, marketing is going with college and everything and how they make money off of these guys. So it's going to be interesting to see. We'll keep you up to date with what's going on with all that. Go on later in the week. Let's get started with the main part of our show. We're going to talk about it. Football here. Our first thing we want to get into is the hot topic report. You've been on everybody's mind. Like I say, you know.
You guys are breaking up.
Yeah, Mike, kind of breaking up a little. I hear you, Tex. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here.
You guys here?
I can hear you.
Yeah, now, I hear you now.
Being kicked out of a University of Texas fraternity party, I guess it's... There's been a lot of differing opinions on what's going on with Manziel. Some people are saying, you know, he needs to watch himself, and some people are saying he's just a college kid being a kid. And I want to know what opinions do we have on this, Tex? What do you think about what's going on with James? So,
well, this is, you know, he had a big year. He beat Alabama. They go and they win in a blowout. In the bowl game, and it seems like all of this has gone to his head. And it's strange because the other side of it is he's, you know, this offseason he has been working on his game. He's been working on rectifying the weaknesses that that SEC teams would see if they looked at film and they go game plan for him this fall. But still, you wonder about the mental toughness off the field, the statements like "live a day in my shoes," or I guess it was Paul Manziel coming out saying, "Oh, Johnny Manziel drinks because of the stress." I mean, you know, you have to check your privilege. You understand what I'm saying? This is you're first off, you're about to be draft eligible. You're the quarterback. Carry yourself as such. it might, as sad as it is, it might be a little tolerable coming from a wide receiver or a running back or a tight end, but I want my quarterback, you know, I don't want my quarterback doing no Duggies or you know, I don't want him doing, I want him to be a leader. I want him to be of sound mind. If Khalil from Oakland or Richmond was doing this, I mean, God, the press would just have a field day. You know what I'm saying? But that's the guy's privilege in it. It's like, oh, just leave him alone, leave him, let him do this, just let him live his life. Nah, you know, don't be good at what you do. And you can go live your life. You cannot have, you know, cannot have no friends. You can go live a life. Be, you know, it's just a guy that's privileged. It's a guy that's had everything handed to him. He just doesn't know how to act. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff didn't bother me, what he was doing. I mean, yeah, think about it. What did he do? He went to he's a football player at Texas A&M. He probably got tired of the partying scene in College Station, so he decided to go to Austin. I've been to Austin, Texas before. It's a pretty good place to party. So, I mean, I don't see what's wrong with what he did. I mean, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, he wanted to go look at the girls at Austin. I mean,
I don't know about the club. Tex, how far is College Station from Austin?
It's not far. It's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the same thing as Gainesville to Florida State.
Yeah.
You're not going to see Tim Tebow at no Florida State party now.
Yeah, but that's Tim Tebow. That's Tim Tebow. I mean, but you might see somebody like you might have seen somebody like a Percy Harvin or somebody like that at one of these parties, or Aaron Hernandez. I mean, I understand what the big deal is. I mean, you want to see what the women look like at different schools. I don't see what the big deal is, what he was doing.
Yeah, but also, it's different when you have a spotlight on you.
I see what you're saying.
First person in the eyes and program here.
I'm with Chris Clausell saying and Kelly Mike, you know, like, it'll be, and that's how he was in Tallahassee, man, seeing somebody from, you know, a big star from Florida Gators party in Tallahassee. But then we did meet Javon Curtis. He was down there that time. I think Javon Curtis and Fred Taylor were down there. I think the time when they had that Camp of Luau, I think they were, you know, one of the clubs down there. I think Floyd. I remember LaRon, y'all remember LaRon, my old roommate. He had some autographs. Yeah, he had some autographs from them guys. So, like, man, you know, he's a college kid. You know, he's the biggest star in college football now, the Heisman Trophy. So, he was just down there to have a party, man. You know, I don't see what's the big deal either.
I don't even think he was thrown out that party. I really don't think he was thrown out that party. Something tells me. I think the media made it up to be him being thrown out that party. I just think he left. Because if he was thrown out that party, why did he go to the – I don't know. It doesn't make sense if he was thrown out that party, he just shows up the next day at another party. That don't make sense to me. I don't think he was thrown out that party.
But he was 21. Maybe they don't want to get caught with that. Like, other age drinking in that
party. All right, man.
I mean, he wasn't 21 though either. So hey, you know, you never know. You know, maybe something would happen. Then you know that fraternity could be liable about, you know, something happened. If you listen
in the background, it sounds like the people are saying, you know, get the F out or go away or something. They were chanting something as he was leaving. So there definitely was some animosity at that point.
Well, yeah, they could have been just messing with that dude, man. Come on, man. All right. I see what you're saying. You're probably right.
He's not a UT guy.
One of the things that bothers me is the whole let the kid be a kid thing when, like I said, when it was Cam Newton, it wasn't let the kid be a kid. It was, you know, this is red flags. This dude might be a criminal, this and that. Like I say, it bothers me. I'm not gonna make a blown out deal about it, but I'm gonna keep an eye on it. Like I said, I've been listening to ESPN, and they, you know, they're starting to say, "Oh, this is just a kid." I mean, who says who? What kind of parent gives the excuse of,
he drinks to take to get rid of the stress.
Yeah.
I mean, that should let you know something about his personal life. And like I said, I've heard that his parents are well-off people and that he's used to, you know, he's kind of used to getting his way. So, you know, that should let you know a little bit about this guy, you know.
It's just privilege. It's privilege. Privilege.
Exactly. You know, flat out, you know,
he acting like he got the life of a Palestinian kid over there on the bank, you know. You stop acting like that. You get your butt up, toughen up, and go play football, or you can quit and you can go spend mommy and daddy's money. Simple as that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And nobody's going to hate you. Quit. Just quit.
And my thing is, you know, like I said, with some of these guys, if you know you're going to make it to the NFL, you can sit your butt down for 2 years. You know, if like sit down for 2 years, get your girlfriend, hunker down. You know, and then when you become a millionaire, you can party all you want, you know. But like I say, for me, it's too much. It's too much to waste. And I think sometimes we let a lot of these kids that whole, you know, very young thing or this and that. Sometimes they can kind of, you know, take over, you know, people's judgment and kind of, you know, like I said, get things kind of cloudy.
Also, I'm gonna add too. Hey, maybe this is a testament for him. I mean. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, you know. This is the type of parent I could be. Let's say if he do make it to the NFL, get drafted, and he'd be a starting quarterback, how the temptations and pressure is going to be of being an NFL player.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, like I said, you already have scouts saying, you know, some of this stuff is red flag. So, you know, like I said, I'm willing to give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt and to the season. And, you know, then we'll see how things, you know. If he can handle it through a full season, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know. But it's just, you know, like I said, something to keep eye on. It's a growing story. And, you know, who knows what else is going on that's not getting leaked out into the full media. So, you know.
And I'm telling you who's going to get the blame for this.
Oh, you know.
I know what you're going to say.
Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Kevin.
His days are numbered. When he leaves, the MO on him is going to be he can't control his players. That's the MO going to be. Just like the same MO on Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh. So just keep, be aware. And you said something about Cam Newton. You heard what the GM said about Cam Newton, and you heard what I said about Cam Newton a few weeks ago. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I remember you had
that in mind.
They were saying that was funny. Yeah. But that's funny. I mean, like you said, I had Cam Newton thinking, but the good thing is they haven't really mentioned about Kevin Sumlin, so we'll see.
Clauzel, on that. Well, just, I know we're not going there, but just a little bit on the Newton. I mean, it's a new GM. And it's probably going to be a new coach if they don't make the playoffs this upcoming season. They want their own guy. But I understand what you're saying about Cam.
I'm saying this to the record. I don't think Carolina's going to make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, they're not making a playoff. That ain't happening.
Well, yeah, more than likely not. Unless some amazing happens, but. You never know. I think their defense is going to be okay this year. You know, like I said, they're going to come out to the offense. So I mean, I don't know. They're not a bad team player wise. You know, like I said, I don't know. I can see them going 8-8. You know, maybe 9-7 at the most.
This is a tough division, man. You got some good teams in that division, man. It's
going to
be something.
But I mean, like I said, they're a talented team, though. You know, you got to look. You know, they got a little bit of time. Anyway, let's move on to the this Carlos Hyde situation. For those who don't know, he's a star running back at Ohio State. He had 17 touchdowns last year, and he was arrested, and he's been suspended, I believe, for the first 3 or 4 games of the season because he was accused of assault on a female. We have video of the incident posted on the CMP Firestorm page. I think everybody's seen the video. What do you guys think about this situation?
I'm going to let Tex go first, man.
Go ahead, Tex.
Well, I haven't even seen the video. I've just heard what was going on. I heard that that the girl lied. That's what I originally heard, was that the woman lied and said that Hyde hit her, but the video doesn't show that she's getting hit. And even after the fact, after this, I don't know, I guess if that's proven or whatever, Urban Meyer is going off talking about he's pissed at Hyde. Even if it shows that he's not, you know, doing what the girl said he did, which was hit her.
Well, let me tell you what the video shows. Basically, they're at a club. There's all these girls up on the stage dancing. It looks like Hyde and a couple of other football players are standing behind the girls.
Oh man, what happened?
I don't know.
Hello. Whose phone is that?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, next thing you know, the girl, she hits Hyde. Hyde swings back at her. Some guys come over. They break it up. Looks like, you know, they try to calm the situation down. Then looks like the football players leave. Like I say, I don't know. I'm torn between two things. Well, let me speak on Urban Meyer. I think that he's trying to overblow this to show that he's a disciplinarian, especially in light of what was going on with the Aaron Hernandez situation, and you know, now they're starting to find out that a lot of stuff didn't get released or was covered up when he was at University of Florida. So I think this is more of a proactive thing, and you know, that he's trying to get out ahead of things. And unfortunately, he's taking this out on Carlos Hyde. From the looks of what I've seen in the video, like I said, you know, you got to keep your hands to yourself. You know, if somebody hits you, you got the right to defend yourself and hit them back. I don't care if it's a girl, a baby, or whatever. Don't hit anybody unless you expect to be hit. I don't understand that. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know. People was raised different ways. I don't know. I was taught anybody that hits me needs to get hit back, and if I don't hit them back, then one of my parents is going to hit me. So, you know, like I said, but on the other end, some of these guys, especially these, like I said, these higher-profile guys, learn to call the police, you know. If you get assaulted and you're in a situation where, you know, like I say, this is kind of different, but a lot of these guys, you know, especially when you get these domestic violence situations, you know, they're gonna, you know, a lot of times, you know, they might not be the first one to hit the other one. But you know, like I said, if you're a 250-pound football player and you hit your girl after she didn't hit you, you're gonna go to jail. You know, the police are gonna come and see you, look at her, they're gonna take you to jail. So you know, like I say, learn to control yourself and just call the police. You know, because like I said, the police are gonna get called on you. You know, if he would have called the police in this situation, they would have looked at the video, seen that she hit him. And, you know, probably took her to jail. Or either way, it wouldn't have went as far as it would have. So, like I said, I'm kind of torn 50-50 because, you know, I learned that you don't put your hands on nobody. But, like I said, as you get higher profile, you got to kind of learn how to protect yourself a little bit better. You know, and like I say, you know, we need to start, you know, at least, you know, we need to start using the legal system to our advantage and, you know, when we can. So what do you think about this, Mike?
No, I was going to say, I get what you're saying when someone hits you, you know, hit back. But then the whole thing, too, you can't hit a woman. I mean, unless she's just coming at you violent, you have no control. You just got to, you know, get her off of you, you know what I'm saying? For that, I mean, I looked at the video two times. I really didn't see nothing to say of a guy to get suspended. I didn't see nothing.
What's the race? I'm sorry. What was the race of this woman?
You already know.
I was gonna say, looking at it, yeah, he was probably, you know what I'm saying, he was in, you know, pretty much white, predominantly club, you know, looking, okay.
It looked like it was a predominantly Caucasian club. It looked like maybe him, from what I seen, it was only about three black dudes in that club, and one of them was him, and it looked like the other two might have been football players, too. So,
there was a white girl he hit?
Huh?
Did he hit a white girl?
Yeah, it was a white girl.
Oh, okay. I thought, like, I was going to say, I thought it was a black girl he hit. All right. Well, you know what it is.
Yeah, no, it was a white girl. And like I said, I don't,
I don't know what kind of club this was. It was dudes walking around with their shirts off. It looked like a rave, like a rave kind of club. I don't know. It was, you know, it looked like a weird group.
Okay. Hey, Wiley wants to say something. Hey, Mike, you don't mind putting him in? I'll put the 407 one. No, the 813, 813.
We got to get Tony back, man. We miss Tony, man.
No, we got to get 407 first, Tony. What's up?
Okay.
Hey, who's this at 407? How you on with TMC Firestorm? What's up?
Yeah, let's see. We're checking in. Hey,
my better
you know,
fan, my fellow better fan, Steve.
Yeah, they with that whole situation, man, it's all about Urban Meyer at the end of the day, no matter what would have happened, because of the simple fact, everybody from the University of Florida is getting exposed right now, especially all his recruits. Riley Cooper with the racist comments. I don't know if y'all seen that at the NHS comments.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that is tied to Urban Meyer, he got to clean himself up. He said he told the players, all his players, to walk away. That's why he's being suspended. Well, it is what it is, man. And the girl was white. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want to play the race card, but, you know, it is what it is, man. He should have just walked away. I mean, it's hard to say that when you're in the heat of the moment. Because I've been in the heat of the moment with a girl acting crazy. And it's not that easy to walk away when they coming at you. You know what I mean? And you probably been drinking or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not that easy. It's what people say. And they're young, man. Same thing with Johnny Manziel. Manziel, they're young. You got to understand, they still growing. We was in college, you know. Girls act crazy. I mean, you just got to understand from a different side that we grown men now, but back when they young, they don't have no direction a lot of times, man. They on their own. They free. They doing whatever they want to do. I mean, I'm not justifying what he did, but, I mean, she swung at him first. He probably swung back. And then that was it, you know. So I think they both was in the wrong, but as him being a college athlete, he should have just said, hey, man, I'm better than this, and left. Forget all that. Don't swing. Handle that shit another time, man. Everywhere you go, there's cameras. So everybody's trying to record something. I mean, so you just got to know to walk away, man.
He had to think about it. He has more to lose than her because, like you said, he's a college athlete. You know, he's trying to strive for the NFL. Like you said, that could be a red flag. Just let's say he don't have any more incidents, and this one incident, let's say he decides to declare for the draft, you know, they're going to, of course, bring this up. Yeah, he had this incident back then. That could be definitely a red flag.
Yeah, and plus, you know, like I said before, you gotta be aware of your surroundings and know, like I said, unless there is indisputable video evidence. If there's a 220-pound, 230-pound big black dude and a crying petite white girl, immediately she's the victim, no matter what. She could be holding a gun, or, you know. Immediately she's gonna be the victim, man. You're gonna be the suspect. So, you know, like I said, some of these guys, they need to get aware of their surroundings, and they need to, you know, just realize what the situation is. And protect themselves, you know. Like I say, don't try to wait or rely on, you know, anything else, or, you know, just, you know, like I said, I think it's just a matter of just, you know, protecting yourself and, you know, getting ahead of the situation. Especially, you know, like Mike said, you know, when you're the one who has everything to lose. There's a guy coming off the season, 17 touchdowns, Ohio State. They're gonna enter in, I think, probably in the top five, you know, preseason ranks, maybe even number two. So, you know, it's gonna be three or four games gonna be a big loss for him. So, you know, like I say, you know, learning experience, young guy, you should be able to bounce back from it.
Okay.
We have another caller from 865 I want to bring in. Hello, 865.
What's up, people?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What be happening with y'all?
Well, man, glad to have you back.
I know, it's good to be back.
Yes, sir.
I can't click back in just as y'all was talking about my favorite person, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, we talked about, have you heard about this football player that got suspended up there?
Yeah. The way I'm looking at it, Urban Meyer has one of two problems. he needs to either run a tighter shift when it comes to his players, or he needs to have a tighter noose on his media. Because right now it's obvious, and it's the same way with Florida, that either he ain't controlling his players or he ain't built a good enough rapport with his media so that when shit happens, he can just have that blown off and not put in the newspaper and put on the front of news.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Tony. As a former Gator, and, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, a couple of your fraternity brothers played on the Florida Gator football team. Did any of this Aaron Hernandez situation surprise you?
Absolutely not.
I mean,
what
was the culture? You know, like, what's the culture going on up there? Or what was it under Urban Meyer at University of Florida?
I won't get into details, but, and I won't name names of players, but I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of troubled players at UF. And when I say troubled, they were doing a lot of crazy stuff and getting away with it. And getting it covered up. And I'm telling you, some of these people you see that left in their junior years, they didn't leave in their junior years because they really wanted to be in the draft. They left in their junior year so that their dirt wouldn't catch up with them in their senior year.
Wow.
And I ain't going to go into it, but
Percy
Harvin? Major players in the NFL.
Percy Harvin?
Yeah.
Right, no, I mean, he had issues coming in before he came to Florida.
That's major. Well, let me ask you this. Was this, I mean, you had insider information, so was this insider stuff or was this well-known throughout the campus that this was going on in Florida?
Well, I really can't say that because personally I knew the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the inside. I literally hung out with the football players. So I can't really say what the people on the outside knew, but I'm not going to name a name, but there was a linebacker that played at the Miami Dolphins. That's as far as I'm going to go.
I know what you're talking about, too. I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you.
That was another
Aaron Hernandez situation.
Wow.
Off the chain. Do you hear me? Off the chain. But
well, let me ask you, what's causing this? Are these guys, are they bringing the baggage with them? Is it the area?
I to be honest with you, I really can't say that. I don't know what's causing it. I don't know if it's something they bring with them from where they grew up or they get on UF and they feel like they can just do whatever they want to do. I really can't say that. But I can tell you, once you become a superstar at the University of Florida, all the doors open.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you
it's the pride of Florida. Football to UF, maybe. It's bigger than Florida State.
But honestly, it's like that in every single system. The thing is, it's all about the coach. If the coach has the media and has the people that can get that stuff leaked out under control, then you never hear about it. But if the coach ain't got the people under control, then you're stuck.
How much of this kind of stuff do you think contributed to Urban Meyer leaving University of Florida?
Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Urban Meyer, that whole I was sick and my heart is going to have a heart attack and I'm about to die shit, that was a lie. Every bit of it.
I think that all that stuff like you saying might cause them stress because obviously that stress thinking about it I don't think he's taking that part. I think it might have led to him having no ulcer and all that.
Hold on, first of all.
Stress-related stuff, because stress causes that type of problems.
Hold on, first of all. That may have part of it, but another part of it had to do with Les Miles and Nick Saban beating him up in the SEC. That's why Urban Meyer left the University of Florida. That had a part of it to do with it, too. But that's not what you want.
The man won two national titles, so what do you have to walk away from?
Exactly, really.
Because other schools were catching up to him. The Les Miles and Nick Saban, they were coming in the state of Florida and taking their best players. And Urban Meyer was like, I can't compete with this. I'm out.
Oh, man. They were hitting
Gainesville's backyard, though. They did start hitting Gainesville's backyard.
I'm
telling you what it was, there was some bad players that were top players, like Hernandez. They were doing some crazy shit, and Urban was going to be on the hook for it. And he got out before. There was a lot of dirt Hernandez did at University of Florida that you never heard of. That's why they were so quick to get rid of his brick and all of that stuff once he got in New England.
To me that was a major part of it. It seemed like the Gators and the Patriots were really quick to distance themselves from this guy. I've never, like I say, even with Vic, you know, OJ, any other guy, I've never seen that happen before. To where a universe, I mean, they took his picture down, they took his brick, his championship brick, you know, they got him off the video game. They completely distanced themselves away from Aaron Hernandez, like you say, like more is about to start coming out.
The Patriots not going to pay off his workout bonus, man, when doing it before OTAs and all that. They're not going to even pay him $90,000. Now they're talking about they're not going to even pay his salary. He's going to pay his salary. He's not going to pay it. I'm like, so at the end of the day, he's going to be a broke guy.
They're not paying, dude, broke? Dude, he's going to jail for the rest of his life. We worried about broke.
That's true. But, I mean, say if he gets off since he got that dollar with the lawyers, but
he better be lucky that they don't have the death penalty wherever he is.
They don't have the death penalty in Massachusetts.
Money is the last thing he needs to be worried about right now.
It was a complete media divergence campaign, the University of Florida. What Urban Meyer did was a distraction so that people would look the other direction from the real shit that was going on. I'm telling you, that's why he kept himself in the news so that everything else could get blown over and taken care of without anybody noticing it.
Yeah, but it seemed like he was...
What else I noticed, too, I noticed, you know, he said he was having a heart attack, but then he became an analyst, and like I say, and you look at him, he didn't look sick. You know, like I said, if somebody's about to have heart problems and have a heart attack, they at least look sick. This cat, you know, he looked the same. You know, he didn't, he became an analyst right after.
But it's all different, though, Mike. He's not coaching, though. Coaching is stressful, man, you know, especially he was at a high platform.
Yeah, that's BS, Mike. Don't believe into that.
What at the University of Florida is more stressing than to go to Ohio State where they just got put on probation?
Exactly.
State is bigger than, Florida right now, you know, it's a mecca of football producing the players, but, you know, Ohio State, that's Ohio State University. I mean, that's much bigger than any university in Florida.
James is on, man.
Oh, yeah, hold on one second, Tony. I'm putting you on hold. We got another caller coming in. Hold on. 850, what's going on? You're on with CMT Firestorm.
Hey, yo, what's going on, people?
What's going on, James?
Yeah, I'm just pretty much following up with, you know, what our favorite person pretty much said. And I know even though he's a Gator fan, I'm gonna have to agree with him on a couple points. Number one, the thing about, you know, all that stuff about the whole Urban Meyer thing, 80% of it, well, either 80% or 70% of it was to cover up what was going on down there. 30% was because he really wanted to go to Ohio State. No matter what he did in Florida, his end game was Ohio State. Ever since he began coaching, that's where he wanted to coach.
Yeah,
so
it
didn't
Ohio,
have anything to do.
Yeah, he is. He's from Ohio.
Yeah. So it didn't have anything to do with LSU and Alabama beating Florida. That was not it. It was about him trying to get to Ohio State, waiting for the right time for him to do it. Now, in reference to Ohio State and that whole suspension or probation thing, that's what they messed up, because they could have did it that year after all that stuff went down, when they went 6-6. But no, they chose to do it when Urban Meyer came in. So when they went 12-0, they could have been in the national championship game. But nope, they put themselves on probation. Now, on the thing with Aaron Hernandez and the thing that Tony was talking about with that linebacker, he ain't say no names, and I ain't going to say no names either. But I'm thinking it's the guy that eventually ended up being on the radio show right now and has the first and second name start with the same letter. That's as far as I'm going to go with that one.
I know who they're talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, like I said, it can only, for Tony's sake, I ain't gonna say nobody's name. It's not that hard. It's not, you know, everybody got Wikipedia. It ain't that hard to look up, you know, a linebacker from Miami that went to, that played for the Dolphins, that went to University of Florida. That was kind of wild. So, I mean, that's, you know, but I mean, like I say, that, you know, that's one of the things I like, you know, when you can get an insider view like Tony's on this program like that, because, like I said, there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes that you just never get to hear with these guys. And,
right,
like what happened with Penn State. You know, we know that this Sandusky thing isn't the, you know, it might have been the most major thing that happened at Penn State, but there's no football program in major college that doesn't have any issues. And, you know, whenever you get a program, you know, like Penn State, that everybody was the squeaky clean, you know, Happy Valley, and Joe Pye lives across the street from the school, and everybody is, you know, hunky-dory, you know, that just doesn't exist, because kids are going to be kids, and you're going to have crazy kids also. So, you know, that comes, you know, like I said, people are people, you know, everybody, every person, it's not the separate-wise, every person isn't the same. So, you know, like I say, I usually get major red flags when I see a program that says nothing is going wrong there. You know, like a Penn State or a Notre Dame, or, you know, some of these programs that try to, you know, keep this, you know, these squeaky clean things. I mean, who knows how many payoffs go off at these schools to keep people shut up, you know. And like I say, you know, like we said a couple of weeks ago, it's different, you know, when you're at a USC or Miami, you know, and you're in a big school in a big city. And, you know, everybody, you know, TMZ is there, and everybody can see what you're doing. And, you know, as opposed to when you're in, you know, Happy or Gainesville or Happy Valley or some, you know, some small town like that. So, you know, like I say, it just, it's one more thing to exemplify, you know, like I say, what kind of control these programs have over what's released and what goes on in the media in their own town. Like I say, you know, you get a coach like a Urban Meyer or a Bobby Bowden or Joe Pa. They control what goes on that town. Don't get it fooled. They're the one stop right there.
Right. And you saw the thing like that happened many years ago at Florida State with Peter Warwick and Lavernius Coles, right? Where they pretty much put the blame on Coles, and Peter Warwick just, you know, pretty much got a slap on the wrist.
Exactly.
Coles got kicked off the team, and Warwick was still on the team.
They had other cases as well with that too. So I mean, hey, they had your boy Randy Moss would have been on that team.
Yeah,
I think he actually was enrolled at University. I think he was enrolled at Florida State, but he was smoking weed, I believe, right? Or somehow there's some marijuana or something like that. Yeah. But he actually was enrolled at Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Because they had all them boys, Warwick, Coles, Moss, Dugan, and Snoop Minnis, all there. So, and all
of
them.
Oh, man. What kind of team would that have been, boy?
Oh, man.
That's scary to think of, man.
Remember,
just Randy Moss, like I say,
they could have won three national titles if, you know, they didn't mess up against OU and Tennessee. So, hey, they could have been, hey, it might have been four straight if, you know, they didn't mess up, you know?
No, Alabama, we'll take up the slack here in Alabama. Don't worry.
Florida State was a football program. People don't realize Florida State used to have, you know, third string freshman All Americans, you know, and you know, like I say, they were one of the first schools that you would just really get stocked with All Americans and just have, you know, great All Americans falling off the yin yang, you know.
Right.
Down in
Miami. I think they had some discussion on what is the NCAA football 14 or whatever it is on Facebook talking about the ultimate team, and I think Florida State was like one of the last four, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, because you know, yeah. So we all know the type of squads they had with, you know, Derrick Brooks and who was it, Walter Jones, and you had Peter Ward to Chris Winkie to Ward Gunn to Deion Sanders, all of them, you know?
Yep. State, Terrell Buckley, you know, State stays loaded, man. You know, they stay loaded, look how many players they put into the league last year, you know, and they're still going to come back and have another strong team again this year. And, they put a lot of, you know, first-round talent, too. So, they stay loaded. You know, I think it's just with State, it's all, you know, like we said before, it's about coaching, really. You know, it's all about the coaching.
Yeah, they got the coach, Jimbo Fisher.
I got a question. Out of the top three schools in Florida right now, who got the best talent right now, you think?
Go ahead, Mike.
I'd say Florida State.
Me too. I probably asked this to Jamal, and I had said this to my boy TJ, who, you know, a diehard Kane fan, who, you know, from Fort Lauderdale. I was asking about Golden. Do you think this is going to be a critical year for Golden if they don't do anything? But he thinks Golden is going to probably be around for probably a good couple more years because they seen what he's done. He's probably getting the team going, that he's probably going to be there for a few more years. I'm still on the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I say, Miami's good. I mean, you said that a couple of weeks ago, Mike. Why do you think he's going to be on the hot seat or something? Miami pretty much could have won the ACC last year. They were a good team, man.
Hey, y'all watch out for Miami, though.
I want to put Steve on here. You think they're going to beat Florida?
What did I tell you yesterday? Watch out. Watch.
September
7th. Watch out.
All right, we're going to see because I'm not convinced. I don't know.
All right.
And Steve wants to come in now. But I'm just saying I'm not convinced they're going to beat Miami.
Right,
I'm not convinced.
Hold on, Jerry. Let me bring in Steve.
Okay. Y'all talking about my team now. You understand? What y'all got to realize is Al Golden has the backing of the university. Hands down. Every AD, Shalala likes him. This guy is not going anywhere. And the fact that he's got 24 hot recruits right now. He didn't recruit in Miami for the allegations. He let the players, he didn't want to hold nobody back. He wanted to get that stuff cleared up. So now he's taking over Miami. He's getting some of the best recruits in the nation right now. But to the best quarterback in the NCAA is going to be Stephen Morris with Duke Johnson in the backfield. Y'all can say what y'all want to say. I follow Miami every day. I look at everything. I'm telling you, this guy is ready. Y'all going to see it? I saw it with my face. I went to about three or four games last year. I'm going to tell you right now, Miami is coming to bring the pain. He started all those young players last year on defense. Yeah, their defense sucked. That's the only thing we waiting on. Their offense is powerful. We just waiting on their defense. Them boys are ready to play. Denzel Perryman is beefed up. Everybody is ready. I'm trying to tell you. Y'all going to see. I ain't going to talk too much about it.
I got a question, then. You say this guy could be the best quarterback in the country. Did he play last year when they played Notre Dame?
Who? Yeah, he did.
The quarterback. And he couldn't.
You,
and you're trying to tell me after getting beat like that.
Wait. Let's back it up.
You're trying to tell me after getting beat like that, this guy is the best quarterback in the country?
Did you watch that game?
I watched the most of it. Yes, I watched at least the first half.
How many open passes did Philip Dorsett drop that could have been touchdowns in that game early on in the game? That probably would have taken
the
whole game.
I don't remember.
He dropped like four of them, buddy. He dropped like four of them. I watch every Miami play. He dropped like four open passes that could have been touchdowns because Philip Dorsett didn't realize how fast the man was, and he dropped the passes. I'm just saying, you know, college football is a game of emotions. And if you don't turn the tide early on, you could just get blown out. But
all right, man, we'll see. I'm gonna see.
He got that talent, Clauzel.
I'm not saying he's gonna have talent.
You know, he threw for. I mean, you got look. He threw for almost 3,500 yards last year, and that was it was a pretty quiet year. You know.
I'm not saying they don't have talent. I just don't think. I'm not sure they're the U. I don't know if they're back to being the U yet.
They're not back to being the U, but they're back to being a serviceable team. You know, to where like.
I'll give you that. But I don't know,
like
if that service
eight to nine wins next year wouldn't surprise me. You know, You know, and Duke Johnson's only going to get better. I mean, that dude, that dude's a star. He might be the best. You know, he might be the best back there since the Edge. You know, that dude's a star.
Yeah, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say real quick, when I not in talking to the scouts, but just talking to a few associates and a couple of guys that are working for scouting services and. A few people that have worked for NFL teams in the front office. Stephen Morris is getting a high grade right now, late first round and rising. So the NFL has paid attention to that. It helped him out a lot that he won the Madden Academy. This guy's star is rising. And it's a shame that Miami wasted so much time with Jakora Harris. Because then, you could have gotten more growth out of Morris. I mean, it makes me upset just thinking about Jakora Harris. I mean, just watching him play in Miami was probably one of the most. And I never get frustrated over some sports type stuff, but it was very frustrating looking at Jakora Harris play football.
Just to make a point on that. Tommy Streeter. I know y'all know who Tommy Streeter is.
Yeah, I heard about him. TJ, I always brag about that guy.
Now, this guy was hurt, and my uncle and his dad are, like, best friends. And Randy Shannon has had favorites. Everybody knows it, and it's no secret. The man had favorites. And Tommy Streeter was going to be on the back burner. Same thing with your boy that went to the Green Bay Packers. What's his name? That shined in the league, but he didn't shine at Miami.
He didn't even get drafted.
He got to put on Randy Shannon's bad list. Randy Shannon had a bad list. Tommy Streeter was on there too. So these players, same thing with Hankerson. These players didn't get a chance to shine or show what they could do when they was with Randy Shannon. But you get a new regime come in, and then now they can do something. They can show a little something. You know what I mean? It's like. The coaching and development was not there with Randy Shannon. Yes, he was a good guy at heart, but he had favorites. And Tommy Streeter didn't get a chance to shine until Al Golden came in. And that's when he was able to develop as a better player. And he was able to get drafted.
That's an interesting point, man, because I used to wonder that about Streeter, too. I'm like, this dude is 6'5", running a 4'4". It's like he can't find a place on the football field.
They wanted to play tight end, man. Tight end. They wanted him to play tight end. Are you serious? He was like, hell no, I ain't doing that. I'm not playing tight end. You know what I mean? It's like, Like, Miami is my team. I'm going to tell you right now, I show favoritism to them. I'm sorry, that's just my team. I know when they ain't doing well, but this year, I'm telling you, it's going to be different. I saw a lot of good things happen last season. This year, if the pieces come together on the defense, that's all that matters. The offense will do their thing. The line is ready. The wide receivers is deeper than they've ever been. And you'll see, man. Y'all going to see.
Let me ask you this question. So clearly you must think that Jacory Harris was one of Shannon's favorites then, right?
He definitely was. Everybody knows that, man. A guy that's under 200 pounds.
Do you think that if Randy Shannon would have benched him, could that possibly have improved Jacory Harris's career? You know, sometimes a guy needs to get benched to learn, you know, that he has to fight for, you know, to fight harder. You think that actually could have improved his career?
Yeah, I definitely think they should have benched him. I think it would have. They should have benched this guy, man. Stephen Morris, he should have been playing. Like, if he would have, they should have did what they did with Ken Dorsey back in the day. Yeah, Kenny Kelly, we like you. You know, you do your little thing, but we got a young guy who's ready, who's smarter than you, can pick up the offense better than you. Even though he might not have the strongest arm, we'll start him for the last four games, and you're going to watch this man do his job. So if they would have did some competition thing, if he would have opened up competition in all the positions, I think Miami would have been hit his stride and Randy Shannon would have had his job. He did a poor coaching job at the Ohio State game that I went to, up in Ohio State. I just be pissed off about it. We went back 5 years with Randy Shannon.
Hold on one second, Steve. I got another call in the 407 I want to bring in real quick.
Hold on. Oh, real quick. Hey, Wiley wants to get back on real quick, the 17-minute one, and then put DT on.
Okay. Hold on one second, DT.
I want to say about Morris. This is Morris' senior year, right?
You Gator haters, wait. I need all you Gator haters to pause a minute. First and foremost, if it wasn't for the Georgia Bulldogs, the Florida Gators would have won the national championship last year.
Oh, please.
They would have?
That's ridiculous.
I'm let y'all contemplate that one. Secondly, y'all keep talking about the boo. The boo ain't got nothing on the Gators, all right? And, you know, that team up north, that women's college, we ain't worried about them.
Okay, let me just bring up a couple of points about the Gators this year. You guys, let me bring up a couple of points about the Gators this year. I'm not being trying to be a Gator or anything. I'm not sold on Jeff Driscoll. Not at all. Y'all lost Gillisley, y'all leading rusher. Driscoll was your second leading rusher. So who's your running back gonna be?
I can't tell you how he's going to set it up this year because he was implementing and putting different people in last year, and I don't know what happened over the summer. So what he's going to come out with on game one, I can't tell you. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to come reloaded.
Yeah, they're going to reload. They're reloading. I'll agree with you there. They're going to reload. I got them up. I think they're going to be in contention for the national championship.
It's a difference when you reload with talent and when you reload with talented veterans. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's why I don't have them winning the national championship.
Florida are always gonna be talented. You already know that just because of the area that they're in. There's never been a time where you can say that Miami, Florida State, or Florida has never had talent. They've always had talent. Like I said, look at Florida State. They've always had talent. There's more things that
go
on.
But all I'm telling you, gentlemen, is this. It's real simple. Just go back and look at last year's season, game for game, and remember, had it not been for the Georgia game, the Florida Gators would have been national champions last year. Game for game, watch it.
I disagree. I think Notre Dame would have beat you guys.
Oh, man.
Well, no, because Alabama's offense was a little bit more explosive than Florida's offense. Florida offense was not that explosive.
Ooh,
I know Tex, you're going to talk about Notre Dame and the Big Ten and their bad schedule, but just go ahead and say it anyway. I know that's what you're going to say.
I'm not even going to say that, but Notre Dame would have beaten South Carolina if they come out the SEC. They wasn't beating any of the top teams coming out of there, man.
I can't even believe you said that, Carville.
Well, it's ridiculous. They got, dude, it's 35-0 at the half. So what's it going to be if they play Florida at the worst? What, 24-0?
Maybe 14-7. It would have been 14-7.
No, you know, Florida.
Hold on. I got a breaking news here from the Florida Gators. Jeff Driscoll has just underwent an emergency appendectomy. He should miss about 2 to 3 weeks.
You're serious?
Oh, he'll be all right. We play scrubs the first couple of weeks anyway. Ain't no big deal.
Y'all got Texas A&M week number two. That ain't no scrub.
Hey.
But we got Texas A&M at Florida.
Hey,
you know what?
I was looking at last year's schedule. Y'all got Miami at week number two, and that's at Miami.
Oh, well, I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried. Like I said, the Blue ain't who they used to be.
All right.
I want to see what DC. You put DC on?
Yeah, let me go ahead and throw in DC here. Hold on 1 second. Mr. Thomas, you're on with CNT Firestorm. How's it going?
I'm all right.
What's going on, DC?
Not much, man. I need to catch up and figure out what you guys are talking about a little bit.
Well, we're talking about basically we're kind of in the state of Florida right now, talking about college football, talking about University of Florida, University of Miami, and Florida State. You're a Florida State man, correct?
Okay. Absolutely. Everybody knows that.
Okay. So we're talking about, you know, Florida State, you know, they're talented. What do you think about the game? I mean, what do you think about the Seminoles this year?
You know, I'll give you guys a real moment. You know, usually when you're a fan, you're not real. Like that Gator fan I was listening to, that wasn't really real. The Gators. He was being a fan. It was like, you know, the Gators, they really didn't have an offense last year. They had a defense last year, and most of those guys left. So now you got Driscoll, and Jeff Driscoll has the carry of the Florida Gators. I mean, I'm sorry. I watched him in high school, and I watched him at the Gators, and he's overrated.
Agreed.
I'm just being honest. Well, I'm Florida State, just to be honest here, you know, they gotta carry the load on a young quarterback, a brand new quarterback. They have, you know, their defensive coordinator is gone. They got a new defensive coaching staff. It's gonna be hard on them. You know, I mean, USF. I mean, I don't know about USF, to be honest with you. I always thought when they had their last coach, they had something, but then they switched and. And now Holtz is trying to get something together, and I think they got a new coach tonight from Western Kentucky.
Yeah,
they got a new coach from Western Kentucky, and so it's just kind of too many switches for them to be consistent there. UCF, yeah, right now they're the most consistent team in the state of Florida, apparently, because O'Leary's been there a while. O'Leary, man, to be honest with you, that defense, I've actually been to some practices. I probably go to two practices a week, just kind of hanging out in the summer. And the defense isn't the same defense as they had. The offense actually looks pretty good. They got Storm Johnson from Miami. You know, running back who was just coming off an ACL, but he looks pretty good for UCF. Miami, I don't know about – I mean, Miami, you think, should be good, but really – They haven't been good in a while, like up to the par of the old Miami anyway. So who knows? I mean, Miami could be a sleeper, to be honest, because you just never – if Miami has Miami talent, you know, the city of Dade County down there, then they could do any damn thing. They always, saying, all these teams got talent. That's for damn sure. But I think that really in college football, I think the unfair advantage goes to Alabama every damn time. I don't know what the hell they do, but they seem like they're cheating.
Hey, I don't know. It's when you win, man, people want to go. But I think the difference is the coaching. That's the biggest difference. It's the coaching.
How Alabama gets the 10 best running backs in the nation every year, though? That's ridiculous.
I did just post some photos on the CMP Firestorm webpage of Miami players holding money. And there is an investigation going on for Miami players taking pictures with loads of cash, and they're wondering where they got it from. I just want to put that out there. I mean, not Miami players, Alabama players. My bad, Alabama Crimson Tide. So you know, I just want to put that out there.
Oh man, that's just a smoke screen.
No, it's not. When you get talent, something's wrong.
Oh, you talking about with the money? I'm talking about the money thing. Ain't nobody.
I just think when you get talent, that
program's dirty. I know it.
Yeah, any program with talent is dirty. Any program is dirty. They were dirty at some point in time. It just has to be. Because what happens is these coaches, they say, like I remember Urban Meyer, you know, seeing him at a coaching tournament, he'll be like, oh, you know, we're trying to recruit character. Sure you are. Sure you're trying to recruit character. But then that's not true. Everybody's just trying to get talent because you want to win. So when you get these kids, like let's say from a Dade County school, I'm not saying anything bad about Dade County, but damn, when you get a kid like that, and let's say he was going to Miami Northwestern and he has a 3.5, he probably had a lot of help to get that 3.5. He probably doesn't have the character that you think he has. And then he shows up on campus, he starts doing everything wrong, and you're shocked. But don't be shocked. That's, you know, you didn't grow up in the best of places, you know. You might want to figure out what you actually got. So.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. One thing you said about USF, I want to bring up, like I said, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, they got a transfer from Notre Dame, Aaron Lynch. This dude's going to be a beast, man. I think he's going to tear that conference up. I look for 15 plus sacks for him this year. He's going to be a real beast.
Hey, Mike, why are you transferring out of Notre Dame, Mike?
I believe he has a girlfriend. Well, that's the story. Like I said, he was the first number one player from Notre Dame to transfer out of there. But I believe they said he had a girlfriend who had a baby back in Florida. And that's where he's from. So he wanted to get closer to her and the kid. Like I said, at least that was the story. I don't know, you know, what else was behind it. But like I said, this dude, you know, he's a beast. He had 8 sacks in his freshman year at Notre Dame. So like I said, I think he's gonna tear it up for USF this year.
Well, let's hope so, man. Give me something to go to, because I'm already planning on going to that Louisville game just to see Teddy Bridgewater. That's the only game I really want to see. But, you know, if they're good, you know, maybe it's something to go to. You never know.
Okay. All right, well, let me put you on hold, DT. We're about to switch over right now to our NFL portion of our show. We're going to start things off with talking about Adrian Peterson. Recently, Adrian Peterson has said that he will break Emmitt Smith's record, I believe, in week 16 of, I think he said, 2017.
Yep. Yeah.
I want to get everybody's thoughts and opinions on that. What do you think about Adrian Peterson? Can he do it? What do you think about him from an all-time aspect? You know, let's hear it. Tex, what do you have to say about this?
I think if you know, help provided, reasonable help provided, I think he's on his way to being a top, definitely a top 10 running back of all time, possibly top 5. One thing you got to worry about is with these backs and some of these injuries and losing speed, losing quickness, losing physical gifts. I mean, this stuff can happen overnight, and nobody outruns time. Everybody is prone to it, so that he is something to consider. I think he can – I think AD, all things considered, he can get up to about 14, 15 before he's done playing. The guy has some miles on him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's be honest. He's been that – you know, he's toted that rock from Minnesota. He hadn't really gotten to a whole lot of places, kind of like Steven Jackson in St. Louis. But I think he can end up being the top 10 quarterback. It's not impossible for him. I mean, running back, it's not impossible for him to be considered as the top 5 running back of all time. But I mean, these running backs, they're up against it. It doesn't matter who you are, you're up against it when you go out there and you carry that rock. And I know everybody is so flabbergasted at how he recovered from his injury, but as a running back, you're up against it. So you have to just wait and see. You have to just let time tell. But certainly he has the talent to be that.
Mm-hmm. I think I like what you said about the it can happen overnight. People need to look at LaDainian Tomlinson. This was a dude who probably through the first seven years of his career was a probably for those first years, probably the best running back of all time through his first 7 or 8 years, statistically wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when he hit I forget where I was reading it at, but age 28, if you look at the decline of running backs after they hit age 28, it's startling. I looked at, LaDainian, 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns at 28 the next season. 1,000 yards, next season 700 yards, and two more seasons after that, he's out of the league by 32. So it's going to be very interesting. Like I said, Adrian Peterson, he's a beast. He's a physical beast, but, you know, we were saying the same thing about LaDainian. People were wondering where he was going to end up on the all-time list. And, you know, like I said, these running backs, they get kind of ran into the ground. I think for you to get to, like, the Emmitt Smith kind of numbers, you have to look at getting low carries and high average. You know, you want to get around 300 yards. I mean, 300 carries, 1,500 yards, over five yards a carry per season. I think to get your longevity to be able to keep your career long enough to get up there. Once you start getting, you know, over 350 carries, getting towards 400 carries, you know, that's when you start seeing a lot of these guys break down. What do you think about this, Mike?
It's funny that you said about LT. He was one of the guys I thought that could break Emmitt Smith's record the way it was going. But like you said, you know, a lot of time, and he just, you know, he wore down. Adrian Peterson, I say too, Steven Jackson. I think his chances now might increase of a guy who still could be in the hunt now that he's in a good situation. He has a quarterback in Matt Ryan. Only thing question is their line, but he has a quarterback, so defense will have to scheme all around him. They got a scheme, you know, with Matt Ryan and the targets he got on that offense with, you know, Gonzalez, Julio, and Roddy White. So he's a guy I wouldn't count out that
but,
might have a chance.
Like, no, he's at the tail end of his career. He's not. He hadn't even hit 10 G's yet. You know what I'm saying? AD is about – he is going to hit 10 G's this year. So,
yeah.
Steven Jackson, that's out of the question.
How many more years do you think Steven Jackson got?
Just two or three.
At the most, three.
Three?
Yeah.
Well, then Adrian Peterson –
like I said, Steven Jackson was the kind of guy, if you would have put him on the right team, I think any of these records would have been in his reach, but you know, you play for your team you play for. It's, you know, like I say, once you hit a certain age, you know, you're only going to go downhill. Interesting stat about Emmitt Smith: he is the leading rusher for all players over the age of 28. This cat had 9,000 yards after he turned 28 years old. So, you know, the next highest player was, I believe it was John Riggins. With like 7,000 yards, and you know, like I say, so it's not, you know, these guys, they are, you know, they're not getting that much better after they get a certain age. What do you think about this, guys?
I want to add this to Mike. Adrian Peterson's on his, you know, what I was saying about LT. Peterson, though, is much bigger and stronger than LT, so I think his chances definitely are favorable. I mean, only thing is, though, the quarterback situation, man. He can't constantly keep carrying the load. If he's going to constantly carry the load like that, I don't know, it might not happen. So they're going to get that quarterback straightened. Hopefully they get it straightened out this year.
No, I don't think he's going to do it. He's got an average. I don't know. They did some average. He had to average like 1,500 yards a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see that happening. But hey, it'll be interesting to see if he can. Is he a top 10 back? I guess I'd put Barry Sanders as a top back. But the thing with Adrian Peterson, though, from what I see, like, he does a lot of 1 yard runs. I'm Skip Bayless mentioned this also. He does a lot of like 1 yard runs, but then he'll get like a big gain, he'd get a lot of like 3-4 yard gains, and it would be like, you know, it would build up. Whereas Adrian Peterson get like a bunch of 1 yard gains, and then he get a big gain. And it makes it seem like, you know, he was dominating the game.
Home run hitter kind of running
back. Yeah.
Man, what's Skip Bayless looking at? What's he looking at? He must have just watched. I mean, what's he looking at?
Well, that's what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking at the games.
No, he's not.
All right,
I don't know where he. Now, I understand what you're talking about is inefficiency about Emmitt Smith, which is one of the things that made him great. But I've seen games where AD is just grinding people. It's a grind on it. I mean, that last game
where he was chasing old boy's record. Shit, that was, you know.
Yeah.
Goodness. Where he was chasing Dickerson's record.
Dickerson,
played. But you know, like I didn't think he would come close. I didn't think he'd come close to getting it.
Yeah, he missed about a few yards, but yeah, it was a game against the Packers that last game. They needed that game to get into the playoffs.
Uh huh. Exactly. And I think he almost rushed 200 yards in that game.
Yeah, he went for 200.
Yep, he can't. Like I said, he needed like a few more yards. He would have broke the record.
I think it was like 8 or 7.
Now they're changing the subject, man. What you about to say,
Shatown? So you think he's going to break it? You don't think he's going to break it.
Okay. Nah. I don't think so either.
I think, like I said, that record, I mean, you got to just put this in perspective. Emmitt Smith right now has 10,000 more yards than Adrian Peterson. 10,000. And, you know, like I say, that's, you know, it'd be hard for Adrian Peterson to break Walter Payton's record, never let Emmitt Smith's record or Barry Sanders' record, you know. Like I say, I don't think he's gonna get there, you know. Looking at, you know, like I say, you look at Emmitt's career, like I say, after the age of 28, the cat was still putting up 1,300, 1,200 yards, you know, a season, and that's, you know, that's monumental.
Why have Adrian Peterson come close to 2,000 yards or get 2,000 yards this year? Would it still change your mind?
If anybody can keep wrestling for 2,000 yards a year, anybody who can do that, yes, that's superhuman. But how many people have rushed for 2,000 yards more than once? None. So, you know, the odds of that happening are slim to none. You know, like I said, he could, you know, but I mean, I don't know. But, you know, speaking of Emmitt, you know, Emmitt is it's kind of weird. This dude, like, I'm looking at his stats right now, man. This dude is dominant. But it doesn't really seem like he gets the kind of respect, you know, like he deserves. I mean, do you guys think that he's an overrated player, underrated? I mean, where do you guys, I mean, this, like I said, he has 10,000 more yards than Adrian Peterson right now. His, you know, he's outpaced Walter Payton by 2,000-some yards. This cat, you know, and he was a touchdown machine, too. You know, he wasn't. That's one thing about AP. AP's never, you know, he's never been a touchdown machine. You know, I like my running backs to be touchdown machines, like Emmitt, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, I like 15 or plus touchdowns in a season. And Marshall Faulk, you know, those kind of guys. But Emmitt, you know, just looking at the stats, I mean, golly, this dude, he's toting rock. I mean, and he averages a lot of carries too. You know, what do you guys think about Emmitt and, you know, his place all time? Underrated, overrated? I mean, is he number one back all time? What do you guys think about that? What do you think, Tex?
I'll go first on this. Oh, the reason why he doesn't.
Wildly want to get on.
Okay, I'll throw him off.
The reason why people try to downplay Emmitt's career is because of the obvious. Oh, his O line was great. His O line is Darryl Johnson was great. This and that, all true. But you have to understand the history of the O line. 2NA was a converted defensive tackle. Eric Williams was a little known. Tackle from where he was coming from. Nate Newton was on his way out. Stepnowski was a 245-pound center. You know, they got some of these guys together on the line. Before Emmitt got there, they weren't able to run the ball. And then when Emmitt showed up in 1990, everything changed. So you had a line, had a running back with superb vision, superb cutback ability, with great feet, underrated quickness, a strong back, and he went out there and he get it done. I don't get why people don't, you know, they always go, well, Dallas O-line was great. Yeah, eventually they became great, but, you know, these guys, you know, they weren't like what Emmitt was coming out of college. And, again, this whole thing didn't pop off until Emmitt came out of Florida and got to Dallas. Then Jimmy was able to run the rock like he wanted to. Then you could throw up top to Mike with Troy Aikman. So, yeah.
Underrated physical specimen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring in a couple of callers. I'm going to bring in I can bring in more than two callers at once, right?
Yeah.
So, we're bringing James and Tony at the same time. James and Tony, you guys are on. We're talking about Emmitt Smith breaking. I mean, we're talking about Adrian Peterson breaking Emmitt Smith's record. And where do you guys think Emmitt Smith stands at the all-time running list? James,
well,
can you go ahead and hear what you have to say about that?
All right. Well, real quick, I'm going to get up close over actually seeing and Notre Dame was going to be Florida. Even I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't make that mistake. Now, number two, the thing with Adrian Peterson is I don't think he would have enough orange peanuts left throughout the rest of his career to actually break the record, especially if he stays in Minnesota and they have the same type of offense that they have with that quarterback. I don't think he'll be durable enough to stand, you know, that many seasons in order to break that record. If he ain't careful, he'll end up like Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
All right. First and foremost, I got to give a shout-out to my brother, Emmitt Smith. We both are Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, graduated from the University of Florida, Zeta Kappa chapter. So that's my boy.
I forgot he was a Gator.
Yep.
The only Gator that I rooted for ever.
Second, I want to say, as much as I love my boy, all day gonna get him. All day gonna get him. I'm telling you, it may not be in the next 5 years, but by the time it's all over, Adrian Peterson will be the greatest running back in the history of the NFL.
You got the making of it. You got the making of it, man.
You heard it here first and foremost. He will take it. Why? Because he's got advantages like Emmitt had. Emmitt played in the semi-dome. Peterson plays in a dome where he ain't got to worry about the weather. That makes a big difference. That gives you another 1 or 2 years to be able to play. I think O.J. would have been the greatest running back of all time had he not played in Buffalo. But again, that's neither here nor there. I think that All Day is going to break that record. He may not break it when he says he's going to break it, but I think he
– Well, the thing about Adrian Peterson, though, and yeah, he does play in the dome or whatever it is, but the thing with Emmitt Smith was he had a team behind him. Yeah, well, he had a great quarterback. He had a great receiving core. He had a great tight end. He had a great fullback. Adrian Peterson don't have that right now. So with that being said, they're going to rely on him to carry the load more and more and more. And that's going to and that's gonna hurt him in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was saying. When I was saying, like, well, the only thing is until they get that quarterback situation taken care of. If they don't get it, then it's not going to look too good.
I think it's a little opposite with Adrian Peterson, and the reason why I say that is because Adrian Peterson has that mindset where he wants to be the superstar. He don't give a fuck. He don't give a damn about a receiver, a quarterback, or nobody else. Just hand me the ball, and I will carry this team. And I truly believe he's got that mindset.
Mm.
Okay.
So he's pretty much
let me put you guys on hold real quick. I'm gonna bring in two other callers.
All right.
Hey Mike.
What's up?
I'll say this too, by Emmitt. I think Emmitt Smith, I don't think he's overrated. I guess that's the only talk like Tex was saying about the offensive line, but hey, he's one of the all time greats. He's the NFL's all time leading rusher. You know, Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, and he showed how tough he was in that game against your Giants, Clausel, in that game to get home field advantage in the playoffs where he played that game with that broken rib and he had to use like a little thigh pad. And I was tough and playing in New York in cold weather. He showed how tough he was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Dan Hampton
now
was happy.
We got DT.
I know Dan Hampton was happy when he sent him to retirement, too. What I think about Emmitt?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, he's top five. I'll give him top five.
I mean, what's stopping you from being number one?
I don't even know if I have Emmitt top five. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know.
It's a back. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do not know. I mean, it's and I love Smith. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I don't know. But my thing is why people discount him. You know, you got a lot of people don't even want to put him in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. If he's not five, he's definitely in the top 10.
Don't even want to put him in the top 10. That's a travesty.
It is. I guess, too, people don't want to get that other stuff because, you know, that time Barry Sanders was the man pretty much. Most would say he probably was the best running back in that era.
And you know what?
Barry was doing his thing, man. You know, Barry was doing his thing, but Emmitt was doing his thing, too.
We already know if you got someone that great, sometimes somebody, the other guy gets underlooked, you know, don't get really appreciated, you know what I'm saying, even after he retires. And still, that time was all about Barry. If Barry didn't retire, Barry, of course, would have broke the record. The way we're looking at it, he probably would have broke the record. So that's another thing, too.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, me and Tex, we were talking about Cedric Ellis at USC, and there's some guys who just don't seem that interested in football. I don't think Barry Sanders started off like that, but I think towards the end of his career, I think football really was the number one thing on his mind, and I think that helped him in retiring. You know, just
well,
I mean, like I say, yeah, it just seemed like, you know, I think he wasn't happy in Detroit. You know, from what I understand, he wasn't happy with the organization. And, you know, like I said, I just think, you know, like I say, you know, football wasn't the number one thing on his mind. Emmitt, you know, you could tell Emmitt still wanted to play. You know, he had a couple of good seasons in Arizona.
Arizona was just garbage, you know, but, you know, like I say, it was, you know, it's, you know, you gotta have a love for football to, you know, to want to stay in there and break those kind of records, you know, put your body at risk and, you know, and put life and limb on risk to get those records. Steve and DT, are you guys on?
Yeah,
I'm on there. I was gonna say,
what do you guys think about Emmitt Smith and Adrian Peterson trying to break his record?
I'll go first. First of all, I'll say that what Adrian Peterson did last year was pretty damn amazing. Let me say that first. I mean, I give him credit, but I also want to give a shout out to Modern Science. I mean, damn, that's amazing to me. The other part of it is, I mean, I'll just name drop right here. I actually know Emmett's high school football coach. His name's Dwight Thomas, and he's an old white guy, man. Looks like Fire Marshal Bill, 2012. He said, I asked him about Emmett one day. He said that, oh, you know about Emmett? He was like, he wasn't really the talented player. He had coach. You know, he's like high school coach here. He's like, he wasn't the most talented guy. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the strongest. But what he said was is that Emmett was the toughest. And so, and that's just what he told me. And so when you look at the longevity of how when Emmett played, and I mean, yes, he had some things going for him over there at Dallas, I thought, but really it's the longevity that I think makes him the best. I mean, like Adrian Peterson, no, I don't think he's going to catch up to Emmett because, I mean, yeah, what he did last year was pretty damn amazing, but I think what Adrian Peterson has is just this just unmatched athletic ability. And I think that when you have that unmatched athletic ability, a lot of times it's not built for longevity. And you could refer this to sports, like let's say Roy Jones. Roy Jones had unmatched athletic ability, but sooner or later, athletic ability runs out, and you got to depend on your mind. Emmett had unmatched athletic ability. Emmett, you know, coming into the league was like a 4.740. You know, he was tougher than everybody else. And that's really why he's the best to me. You know, he stayed around longer. So yes, you got Jim Brown, you got Barry Sanders. But he decided to stop. Their body couldn't take it, I guess. Well, I think you give it to Emmett, number one.
Jim Brown wanted to go act in movies with Raquel Welch. So he could have played for a long time.
Though about toughness. I think toughness is underrated in the NFL, man. I think if you got a guy that's tough, you know, he can make a pretty good career for himself. You know, guys like Emmett, John Randall, you know, those are two of my favorite players, and they weren't the best athletes, but they were tough as hell. And, you know, they're two of the best at their positions ever. Same with Jerry Rice, you know, not the best athlete, but he was tough, you know.
Yeah, he had that work regimen, man, like working up, you know, running up that hill like Walter Payton, running up that hill, build his legs, and, you know, he did that brick. He was a bricklayer doing all that, you know, when he was a kid, so that built him toughness. I didn't know. I had saw, like, a documentary. Also, Armour Dale was kind of pressuring him, Jim Brown, to come in, what are you going to do? And I was one of his regrets, like, you know. That's when Jim Brown said, heck, I decided to retire. And then the Barry Sanders situation, I was going to say, y'all didn't see the life of Barry Sanders, and that's what pretty much tell you. And we already kind of knew that, you know, Barry Sanders wanted to win. That's the reason why he, you know, decided to retire, because he knew he wasn't going to win in Detroit. He just got tired of losing. Like you said, losing affects everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to win, especially when you're playing football.
I think when you look at Super Bowls and you look at yards, you got to give it to Emmett. I mean, yes, these other guys were great in their 9 years or whatever, how many years they played. But, I mean, the if, you know, people always do that if stuff. It's like, man, there ain't no if because he retired. You know, like
people,
and Shaq was in his prime, and people would argue the fact, oh, if Shaq wasn't that big, he wouldn't be good. It's like, this is a stupid argument. Shaq is big.
That's true.
Steve, what do you think about that?
Well, Emmitt, you got to understand what Emmitt Smith did. I'm going to just take you back to the 2000 to 2002 Cowboys season when they went 5-11, three seasons in a row with Dave Campo. They had one of the worst offenses in football, and this guy still ran for almost 3,200 yards in three seasons from the age 31 to 33. Now, I don't know if Adrian Peterson going to be able to do that, if he was on a dominant team. I don't know if Adrian Peterson can really carry that load. And I don't know if y'all know about the new rule where Adrian Peterson was doing all his pounding is you can't lead with your helmet like he did when he was getting those 3 and 4 yards and busting through them holes. You can't do it no more. They just passed that new rule, so I want to see him being a straight-up runner. He does it straight up. He does it like a sprinter. When he hits the hole, he comes down and then comes up. So I want to see if he's able to keep his head up and not, you know, pound nobody and still be able to get all those yards. It's going to be kind of hard and difficult for him. I mean, he won't have to worry about getting hurt as much because he ain't got to be leading and be that bruiser guy all the time, but that's how he was getting his yards. So I don't know how that's going to affect his season, but I don't think he's going to be able to touch Emmitt, man. The guy, that what that guy did at an old age, like dude was saying after the 28-year-old mark, is beyond amazing. I mean, look at all the other running backs that touched 2,000. They weren't nowhere near close to Emmitt. So, you know.
Nope.
Terrell Davis, you saw he dropped out of the league. You know, he couldn't handle it. Jamal Anderson, where he at? He ain't nowhere to be found. I mean, Chris Johnson, he's
up
and down, and
he
ain't going
to
do nothing. I mean, it's a lot of people.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot of people that wish they could get there, but with Emmitt Smith, because he had the work ethic, because he had heart, because he was from Florida, I'm going to give the Florida shout out, because he was from Florida,
man.
Not UF, but the state of Florida. We ain't going to talk about UF because I'll never pull for anybody from UF. I'm sorry. But
also,
I'm going to throw that out.
And also, too, we're in a good situation with Dallas. Like a lot of guys right now, like Adrian and LT, you know, not, I guess, one, you know, a better, I mean, I give LT did was in a good situation, but Evan was just in a better situation.
And he had an organization behind him for a long time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ups and downs. Yeah, they did them kind of dirty towards the end, but, you know, your time was up, buddy. I mean, you trying to just keep running. I understand that, but, you know, it's what he did is beyond a man. His longevity in the league was, as a running back, a lot of running backs ain't going to be able to do. And most of the great ones haven't done it yet. So I don't see it happening.
All right, Steve, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put you on hold.
Let me say this before you let me go. I also want to say, too, that the whole thing is not really set up for these running backs to break Emmitt's record either. I mean, you got a bunch of these running backs. How many running backs in the league right now tote the ball by themselves? You know, it's more of a dual back system now. And I was just listening to, you know, NFL Network today, and they were saying, you know, I was listening to Marshall Faulk, and he was mad because he's watching all these running backs nowadays. And ain't nothing wrong with them. And that's at their head. Just at their head to come out the game real fast. Just because they know this other guy needs to come in. They get a little bit tired. They tap their head. You can't break records doing that. So I don't think anybody's really going to break it for a while.
Well, I think
your point is running back by committee now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Adrian Peterson, I think the guy, if he doesn't do it, then I don't know who's gonna break it. I record my last for a long time, or it might never be broken.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll keep in mind that. I'm gonna move on though. I'm gonna put you guys on hold. We'll bring in this caller from the 813. We're about to get into our last debate about Donovan McNabb. I want to bring in a new caller from the 813. Isaac Coin 813.
Yo, what's going on, man? I wanted to add in on the agent pitcher argument before y'all switch topics.
Go ahead. Yeah, we're still talking about Adrian.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to get the record because his cap number right now is $11 million. And so with the economics of the game, as he continues the rush, the Minnesota Vikings aren't going to be able to afford him in the future. So I don't see him staying around long enough to be able to get that record because he's going to demand more and more money every year.
More money.
So they're going to cut him just to get rid of him. But I will say that the last Adrian Peterson is going to be the last great running back. And whatever class he came into the NFL, he's going to be the last running back to make the Hall of Fame. Because the way the NFL is going now with the dual back system and all the passing, he's the last feature back.
Yeah.
So that's
what about
great running back that you're going to watch.
What about Frank Gore?
What's your name?
This is David. I'm calling out of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Okay, you made a really good point there. I just want to expound on what you said about his draft class. I was looking at his class last year. I was looking at his class, the class before his. You look at the running backs out of those classes that aren't even in the league no more, and guys have just completely just dropped off. Guys like Lawrence Maroney, Marion Barber, Brandon Jacobs. You know, pretty much, you know, you got Adrian, you got
Reggie Bush and you got Marshawn Lynch right now. And
Reggie Bush is pretty much falling off.
Who?
I was pretty much saying Reggie Bush. You can pretty much say his name because he's kind of falling off.
Well, I'm starting talking about guys that are still even playing, really. I mean, most of these guys, he's got something to die. These other cats aren't even in the league anymore. So, you know, like I said, the running back, you know, it's really starting to become kind of an endangered species position. You know, these guys are getting, their careers are getting cut a lot shorter, a lot shorter than we think. These are guys that, you know, some of these guys are young, you know, these guys are younger than us. So the careers are already over. And, you know, like I said, some of them are pretty good running backs. Let's go ahead and switch gears here. I want to get started on this Donovan McNabb thing. The Eagles have decided to retire his jersey at the beginning of the season. We've been talking about this a lot on the CNC Firestorm page and in between each other, so I figured we'd go ahead and get this knocked out. Donovan McNabb, is he a Hall of Famer or is he? I want to hear start off with his strongest defender, Clauzel Mathis. Clauzel?
I'm a strong
defender. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say no. I think he should get in the Hall of Fame, though. I'm going to have to say no, though.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I never said he was a Hall of Famer. I said I don't think he should be. I want him to get in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he should be. What'd you say?
So you think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but you don't think he'll make it?
No, I don't think. If I had a vote, I wouldn't vote him in, but I think he's going to make the Hall of Fame, yes.
Boo.
Hmm.
I think he's going to make the Hall of Fame because, you know, he's a classic A-side player. I mean, he had a pretty good career. I mean, he was really vilified through his whole career, but when you look back at his career, he had a very good career. So with that.
But that's like, okay, like I said, just think about the two words you just said. You just said pretty good, very good, not excellent.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame. Because you never really thought of him on the same level as a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady. You never put him on that level. You kind of put him on that level of a Phillip Rivers, somebody like that. So, I don't put him in the Hall of Fame. But if he gets in the Hall of Fame, that would be great for him.
I don't
Mike, what do you think?
I was going to say a guy that we kind of forgot. And you know, it was controversial and how the way it ended was tragic, but still, that was his personal life. But as a guy really that should get in before he should get in, his name might be considered in a couple
Stephen
years.
Nair, are you?
Yeah, I won't say Stephen Nair. He was a leader. Remember, he was MVP with Peyton Manning 1 year. I mean, same situation.
Yeah,
I mean, the two teams they were on never really had a team that was built all, totally on the offense where, you know, Peyton Manning had the receivers and stuff like that.
But I don't think Steve
McNabb never, other than
McNabb,
you know, being there for a year and a half, McNabb never had no marquee receivers or even a tight end.
Hey, Mike,
and he carried that team.
That's come from a real vantage point, not, you know, he didn't even have a better career than Donovan McNabb.
He did.
Hey, I was just going to say, he didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah, I can't put Steve McNair nowhere in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Well,
he's a good quarterback.
Go ahead.
I mean, even though he got killed, he was 34 years old and was in Baltimore by then. I don't think he was going to play that much. I don't want to switch it over to Donovan McNabb, but Steve McNair, he's nowhere near the Hall of Fame. But what do you think about McNabb going into the Hall, Tex?
No, I don't think. I thought he was a very good quarterback. I never saw him as elite. It has to be a combination to me of a level of winning football and numbers. I think he was less than 60% completion percentage for his career. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback. Now, he carried the team. All right? Now, let's not put shade on how important he was to his ball club, because besides the attacking Jim Johnson defense that they had, it was Donovan McNabb for a while until they had T.O. for 1 year. Deuce Staley was okay, and they had Brian Westbrook there towards the end.
and that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he was a very good quarterback. He never was a great quarterback, never won anything, only got past the championship game one time. He's not a Hall of Fame guy.
Is he the case of a guy who Super Bowl could have, if he would have won the Super Bowl, would he be a Hall of Famer, no doubt?
Yes.
I think he'd be in my opinion, still borderline.
I'm looking at his stats, and his touchdown to interception ratio is very good. So like I say, he had some good seasons. I think if he would have won that Super Bowl, I think, like I said, I think he still might be playing right now if he would have won that Super Bowl, to tell the truth. But I think if he would have won that Super Bowl, I think he would get in most definitely.
I think he's
gonna be one of those guys who a Super Bowl, you know, it'll tip the scales in his favor a lot. I mean,
I disagree, Mike. I don't think he'd still be playing because his skills were starting to decline. So you know, his athletics and all that, course, you know, five times.
I mean, like I say, you're going to decline, but I mean, like I say, as long as you know, quarterback is different. It's not, you know, you're not, as long as you can get out there and throw the ball, you can play quarterback until you're 44 years old. You know, teams were still willing to sign Brett Favre. You know, like I said, as long as you can get out there and throw the ball, and you can find a team who will be willing to sign you at quarterback. Like I said, with McNabb, you know, I think he started internalizing a lot of his outward frustrations, and you know, like I say, he's kind of started letting, you know, it's tough, you know, Philadelphia is a tough city, a tough sports city, period, you know, and especially for football when you're not winning, and you know, he's already a minority quarterback in a blue collar kind of city like that, and you know, like I say, he had a lot on his shoulders. I think, like I said, I think one Super Bowl would have done wonders. I think he would have been the darling of Philadelphia, and things would be totally different. But they're already talking about him getting booed out of his own retirement ceremony.
Yeah, they were talking about that, too. Yep, they sure were.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to boo him out of his retirement ceremony. I doubt that. That would be stupid for them to do that. That would be stupid because if you really think about it, man, the Eagles have not been the same ever since he left. If you really think about it, I mean, they've stockpiled teams, but they really haven't been the same ever since he left. So that should tell you what his impact is. And on top of that, when you brought the minority thing, I'm kind of glad that EJ Manuel has let him mentor, and I really think RG3 should heed Donovan's advice and let him mentor him because second year in the league, I mean – people don't forget, Donovan McNabb was RG3. I mean, people were all on Donovan McNabb in his second year in the league. And people are all on RG3 his second year in the league. So, I mean, there could be a parallel. They could turn on him. I'm just saying, you know.
And Cam Newton, too. You know how I hyped last year with Cam Newton. They talk about now, you know, we hear much about Cam Newton now, too.
Exactly.
You know,
Let me bring in James and Tony. I want to hear what they think about Donovan. Tony and James, you guys are on with the CMT Firestorm. What do you guys think about Donovan McNabb's chance of getting in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, here we go, dog.
I see it like this. I know you guys don't want to get into the details of it, but this is how it works.
Keep it real.
It's the reverse racism. It's like having a white boy that is a good running back. He will get in the Hall of Fame. You got to understand that it's like this. There are 7 white people to every 1 black people in America. If you ask 6 of those 7 white people to name a black quarterback, they're going to say Donovan McNabb. Why? Because they hate that man that replaced him. You feel me?
No. They hate the man that replaced him.
You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, Vic. You're talking about Vic. My bad, Vic.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, what I'm saying is, and they don't remember the people that came before in Houston and the other guy that came in Philadelphia. All they remember is current history. So the best black quarterback they've ever seen is Donovan McNabb. And you have to remember Marino didn't win no Super Bowls either. And Donovan McNabb took him to like six or seven straight NFC championships. So will he make the Hall of Fame? I say absolutely.
Marino has 50,000 yards passing, though.
Hey, look.
Yeah, too.
I think he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
But they were saying, too, about comparing. They were comparing, I was listening to one of the radio shows out here this week. They were comparing. Matt Faye was talking about this yesterday. It was comparing Donovan McNabb to, like, Jim Kelly, his numbers, saying, you know how Jim Kelly, well, Jim Kelly got in the Hall of Fame, and he got the 4-2
Kelly,
goals.
Jim Kelly was the 4-2 goals. Jim Kelly was the 4-2 goals in a row.
But he didn't
win,
though.
He got the 4-2 goals in a row, but he also had 30 Thomas behind him.
Now all of a sudden you got the era of all of these black quarterbacks coming into the NFL. 30 years from now, every team might have a black quarterback, but they'll still look back in the Hall of Fame and say Donovan McNabb was one of the first good black quarterbacks, and that's why he will get in.
Yeah, he's an A-side player, too.
That's part of it. But, yeah, the thing I was going to say about Donovan McNabb is y'all just mentioned Jim Kelly, and, you know, him was passing all over in Buffalo and that type of stuff. But, you know, like you said, you had Thurman Thomas in the backfield. You had the receivers that they had, you know, in Buffalo. Donovan didn't even have that, number one.
Exactly.
Number two, he had all that success in Philadelphia where they didn't have success really before that, other than Randall Cunningham, and they haven't been the same since, like Clausell said. Number three, going off his passing stats, he is like 17th all-time right now, and he's not in the Hall of Fame, but, hey, if you're going to go like that, you got Kerry Collins that got even more passing yards than Donovan McNabb did, and he really didn't win anything when he was in the league.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Like Tommy said this all the time, I don't care about stats. I don't care about his W.
Amen.
Hold on. Let me bring up a couple of guys. I want you to tell me if they're Hall of Famers or not. Drew Bledsoe, is he Hall of Famer?
No.
At one time, yeah, but then I ended it. Nah.
Well, the rule is, hey, Mike, the rule is, and this is, I'll go by Skip Bayless again. You say the name, if you have to think twice, they're not a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Yeah, we carried that discussion the whole time, a long time ago. When Clausell started this thing, we said, "Hey, if you have to think about his name, or he wasn't like somebody that you feared in the NFL, then no, they ain't a Hall of Famer."
Vinny Testaverde?
No.
No.
Hell no.
Okay.
these are all guys who statistically are better than McNabb.
That's right.
Well, you said two straight no's.
But it's about who they like. You got to realize the people you're naming don't stand out like McNabb because of the fact that he is a black quarterback.
Well, that
these,
one,
those are two universally well-liked guys, though. You know,
they didn't
really
win that much, too, either. That's the thing about it. Like Tony said, hey, all he cares about is W's, and that's the thing about it. Donovan McNabb produced W's when he was in Philadelphia.
Sure
or Drew Bledsoe.
Because at the same token, you got.
Yeah, he did go to one Super Bowl. He did. I mean, that's what I'm saying. One time, I would say, yeah, Bledsoe was a Hall of Famer, but then I think his career, you know, when Tom Brady thing, pretty much never was the same after that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's why I say it
wasn't
surprising if he don't get in.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard for any quarterback to come back. But, I mean, like I said, Bledsoe, you know, he was a baller, and then, he came back at Buffalo and had a couple of decent seasons when he was in Buffalo. But, I mean, you know, both of these guys are quarterbacks, you know, threw over 40,000. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I'm just stuck on McNabb. Like you guys say, he's one of them guys where if you have to think about it more than once, then he doesn't get in. And, like I said,
we are a society built on race. As much as you don't want to admit it or don't want to accept it, it's the truth. We are a society built on race. And the NFL has had white quarterbacks since the beginning. And Donovan McNabb is one of the very first premier name recognition black quarterback, and that will get him in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, hey, I got a question.
Let me rephrase things then, because I kind of see what you're talking about, Tony. So you're saying maybe he might not get in this year, but he might get in eventually.
Hold on, hey, Matt wants to get on this. Yeah, Matt wants to get in on this real quick.
Hey, hold
okay,
on, hold
I'm,
on.
I'm okay. I'm gonna go on, boo. What do you think? You think that he might not get in this year, but he'll get in eventually?
Yes, he will eventually get in.
Okay.
Hey, I got a question for y'all. Hey, do you think that Chris Everett should be in the Hall of Fame?
Who?
Chris who?
You mean Jim Everett?
Yeah, like Jim Rome had to say Chris Everett.
I thought you were talking about the female tennis player. Who the hell is Chris Everett?
Remember Jim Rome saying, hey,
he's talking about Jim Rome, how Jim Rome called him and he went and beat him up.
I thought
you were talking about the female tennis player.
Let me put Matt out here. Matt, what do you think about Matt? You know, what do you think about Donovan McNabb, bro? Matt,
not a Hall of Famer.
You don't think so?
Neither is Vinny Testaverde. Neither is Drew Bledsoe. We keep going down the list.
Do you think?
Definitely
not even talking about first ballot though. Do you think that maybe he might get in like down the line, maybe a couple of years?
What did he do outstanding in his career to warrant the Hall of Fame?
Besides five NFC championship games?
Yeah,
took his team to the Super Bowl.
Great NFC championship.
Five NFC championship games, took his team to the Super Bowl.
I mean, let's face it, T.O. got them to the Super Bowl.
He got hurt, man.
T.O. was injured. Remember, you got to remember, T.O. was injured throughout the playoffs. He came back
for
the
three
Super Bowl
games.
Game.
It's like so three games. Plus you have 2 weeks off. It was a month and a half, if that. And he was back from a broken ankle.
But they had to get through the playoffs, though, Matt. They had to get through the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. And McNabb led them through the playoffs.
Actually, the defense came up big in the playoffs, so.
Ooh.
Okay, maybe.
Hey, you know who should be? Speaking of that defense, who should be in the Hall of Fame is LaVon Kirkland. He's not in there, but he should be.
I think down the line he'll get in. I don't think he'll get first ballot.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's a shame, but, you know, he's not.
Do they give him, what, 16 years to get in?
I don't know how long they get. They give him, I don't know.
That's a chance. He might get like a senior vote. He might be one of those senior committee people that give him in by a committee person.
Hey, look, let me bring up this point, too.
Randall
Cunningham isn't in the Hall of Fame. I think I might take Randall Cunningham over Donovan.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know about that, Kelly, Mike.
Why not?
I take Randall
Even
Cunningham.
Though he was a good quarterback.
That was a better quarterback at Cunningham.
Yeah, I think McNabb had a better longevity. Even though Randall was good, you know, he was in Minnesota, he had one good year.
Longevity,
in Philly,
you know,
he was a pretty good.
Randall played in the league for about 15 years, Carvell.
I know. He didn't have any. I mean, he had two pretty good years in Philadelphia. I mean,
I'll
one pretty good year.
I'll take Warren Moon over all of them. I'll take
Warren
Moon
over all
of
them. Yeah, he was good.
Randall had two pretty good years. In Philadelphia, well, he had three good years in Philadelphia. One of those years might be the best year of a football player ever, and then he had also a stellar year in Minnesota. And his stats are very comparable.
I'm looking at his stats, they're very comparable
to Donovan McNabb.
Hey, I wanted to comment on one thing real quick. What Watley said. You realize Rob Parker is rolling over in his newspaper what you said. I mean, it defeats the whole purpose of the argument that Robert Griffin III made. I don't want to be known as one of the greatest black quarterbacks. I want to be known as one of the greatest quarterbacks.
It doesn't matter
don't
what
put
he
McNabb
wants.
In.
Our society is what
don't
it is.
McNabb don't belong in the Hall of Fame because he was one of the best black quarterbacks. You have to on his accolades as a quarterback.
Okay,
if
I agree.
Him in as the best black
that
quarterback,
if all
I say
were
we
fair,
the NAACP
I would totally agree.
And we vote him in there.
If all were fair, I would totally agree. But we are not a society based on fair. We are a society based on race. And because we are a society based on race, he was one of the greater black quarterbacks. And I promise you, down the line, that will matter in our society.
I agree with both. It's true. It both. I agree
why don't
with
we just segregate
saying.
The leagues again? How about that? If we're going to just talk about being the best of whatever race, let's just segregate the leagues then. You know?
Well, hold on, Matt. I'll say this.
Go backwards?
Hold on, Matt. I'll say this. I'll just look at it like this. I see where you're coming from, Matt, but I'll say this. I'll go to a basketball example. Bill Walton, he was a first ballot Hall of Fame in basketball, and he really only had 3 good years in the NBA. That's what a lot of people back then said. But a lot of people say he got a first ballot Hall of Famer based on the fact that he was white. You know, because
exactly.
he really wasn't. Had a really long career.
Bill Walton won an NBA championship.
And also he won a championship too, Carlisle. He won a championship.
A lot of players won an NBA championship, but did he have like a long career, like a 7 or 8, 9, 10 year career where he was a dominant player? No.
Yeah, they
said he only
They put him up there with the Giants.
What'd you say?
They put him up there with the Celtics Giant, with the L.A. Giant. They make him out to be as good as those guys, and he wasn't nowhere near. But he's first ballot.
Let me say this, even though kind of get on side. Let me say this about Bill Walton. Bill Walton, he had an injury shortened career, but Bill Walton was a bad dude, man. Bill Walton, you can't put his talent on his skin color. He was a bad dude.
Well, I mean, how long was his career? What did he have, like a 3-year a dominant career? And
he
won a
championship in those 3 years by himself.
All
right, man. Would you put Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame?
Championship. Then he also went to Boston, was on the bench for a couple of their championship teams. So.
All right, man.
He wasn't Bill Russell, but everybody wants to put him on the same level as Bill Russell. He wasn't even close.
I never heard nobody put him on the level as Bill Russell. Now, come on, it's only
I get what
Bill
saying.
Bill
like,
Russell.
Bill Walton, he won the
Bill
greatest 50 players or something like that.
Player in the NBA.
Yeah, Rob. I'm looking at it right now. Walton had, it doesn't look like he ever had any full season. He had about four. Yeah, you're right, Clausel. He had about 4 seasons. Where he played some good ball before he started getting injured, but like I said, he did bring a title to Portland.
He won.
I don't know if he won
Chamberlain
MVP that year too. He was like I said,
he
was a ball. You got to look at him when he was
Allen Iverson make it to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I put Allen Iverson in the Hall.
He is, but he's always going to be controversial. I don't get in, but he
did. You want to put Allen Iverson in the Hall of Fame?
Hold on,
Matt. You wouldn't put Allen Iverson in the Hall of Fame?
I didn't say that. I'm asking this.
Oh, I would put Allen Iverson in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Also, Walton was a 78 NBA MVP too. He did win the MVP that year too, and the NBA championship. So I mean, that's Hall of Fame right there.
No.
I'm just saying that McNabb's race will factor into him making the Hall of Fame, and I think it'll be a positive versus a negative factor.
I think it's ridiculous.
Okay.
You can make a case. I mean, honestly, you can make a case. I know this is kind of controversial, but you can make a case that Warren Moon's not a Hall of Famer. Because
oh, my goodness. No,
I don't think you can.
I'm going to tell you why.
Warren Moon is the greatest quarterback in the history of football.
Because he had a long career and he had all those yards in Canada. But when he played, he was a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong, he was a good quarterback. But, I mean, did he really do well in the playoffs? I don't know.
Because he's from the Houston Texans. Come on now.
He played for the Houston Oilers.
The Houston Oilers was the worst team in the AFC.
Until he got there. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, whatever.
I mean, Warren Moon, honestly, like I said, Warren Moon, he was a bad dude. He was one of the first, you know, I forget what kind of offense they ran, but, you know, like I said, he
run
was
and shoot,
a
run and shoot.
Man. He was a running shoe guy. I can't remember his name. But like I said, yeah, he's a Hall of Fame. I mean, you got to look. Like I said, like you said, I mean, look at what would happen if he didn't have to play those years in Canada. I mean, that's because
exactly.
They wanted to push him to a cornerback, you know, and this was a guy that wasn't a running quarterback to begin with. He was always a pocket passer.
Was the football what Dr. J was to basketball? Had it not been for the ABA, Michael Jordan wouldn't have had a chance against what Dr. J did. It's the same way with Warren Moon. Had Warren Moon spent his entire career in the NFL, he would be the greatest quarterback ever in the NFL, period.
You gotta figure, this is a guy who didn't enter into the NFL until he was 28 years old, and he still passed for almost 50,000 yards.
Yes. Like
that's
I said, it's
that's basically
Dr.
7 years, seven or 6 years
NBA
out of his career he missed.
NBA.
And he won. I think didn't he win like three championships in Canada too? Like three or four championships.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to get back on McNabb. I mean, he was a good quarterback. I mean, I hope he gets in because I like to see him do well because I think he was vilified. And I think, I think he was vilified by the media. And he never did anything wrong. Same thing with T.O. He was a target.
You in the media?
What'd you
ask
me?
T.O.
I'm sorry. So, ask that again, Matt. What'd you say?
Why
do I blame everything on the media?
Yeah.
Who was he vilifying? I mean, some people were vilifying him. I mean, newspaper, radio, TV.
That
I mean,
Geno
that's media.
Smith.
I don't know. That's media.
You were just saying that about Geno Smith. The dude's out of shape. He can't run gassers.
But the rest of the article said he had a good showing. But the rest of the article said he had a good showing. And the article came out today saying he was good, but they don't want to. They want to promote the fact that he was out of gas. But the rest of the article said he was good.
He was out of shape.
The majority of the article said he was good.
I heard
you're
saying he was out of shape too.
In training camp, they're in shorts.
No, that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is
short.
The point I'm making is the media only said he was out of shape. The media said he was only out of shape, but the rest of the article said he was good. Come on, man. They're against him.
Of course
he did.
Right,
he's
in short
shorts.
He's
going
to
start this year. You know that, right? And Otto Graham, Johnny Unitas, had the arm of a Superman. We